seems to be that if a belligerent can fight, he will fight. That leaders will not surrender until surrender is academic. How is a national leader to explain the sacrifice of so much for nothing? Well, relax. I can't explain.
Oh, what a weird intro, Tyler. Yeah, this is a Libertarian Podcast Review, episode 128, Fox & Sons Coffee. We're going to talk about it, but first, we're going to do our intro.
Things are going to start happening to me now.
You've done all the reading. You're a scholar. You're a professor. You've done all the reading. You've done the intellectual heavy lifting.
Or less, eat shit and die.
You wouldn't know a fact if it begged you all night long.
Want to, like, give the wrong impression, because I am very high.
F***ing right up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
Yeah. Care. I'm a libertarian. What I'm getting is,
did you vote for Joe Jorgensen or Trump?
Who?
Joe Jorgensen. That was the perfect answer. Thank you. That was...
And we're here, everybody. It's Friday night. Doing a little drinking. Doing a little war signal. Frankie Goes to Hollywood. I don't know why I picked the gay version of this song. Literally. But here we are. Welcome. Okay, so let's get caught up on a few things. I don't know if maybe some people will come in, maybe not. Andy's not joining us tonight. But if some other people do, maybe we'll bring them in. But other than that, I'm gonna play a clip. I'm gonna watch an interview with Clint and Austin Peterson, and we're gonna talk about it. Because why not? That's what we're gonna do. So things are kicking off. Let's start right here. What do we got, Tyler? What do we got? Fox & Sons Coffee. It's the only coffee I use. Literally, I'm blown away how much I enjoy this coffee. I love coffee. I'm a big fan. I make it every day. I drink this coffee every day. And by the way, Steve, he just let me know. He goes, hey, why don't you let's do a contest. We'll give two bags out. So I got to figure out what's going to be all legit. It's not going to be from me touching it first, using the sniff hole, whatnot. We're going straight to him. So, or he's coming straight to you. So we will tell you, so go to foxandson.com, use the promo code review. You get 15% off for orders of $25. $25 or more. And it won't have you burping up like that. So I hope you've had a good Friday. What has been happening with me? I went on Pete Quinones' show. We did three episodes on Leo Frank. I released the first one for mine, my show here I did one for us. It's been a long day. Okay. And then I came home. I had to do some flooring. My back's still problematic. It's not so good, but we're going to have to deal with this. Okay. So I did one episode for me. I then went on Jose's show and I did a little bit on him. I talked a little bit about it on, with Alan Mosley. But then I went on Pete's show. We did episodes 1, 2, and 3, part 1, 2, and 3. Part one with him is a little close to part one with me, but I lay it out a little bit better because I had had, where's the book? It's not in here. I didn't got this more detailed books and more stuff. And I was digging into it a lot more. So I was able to give a little bit more context to it. Then episode 2 with him was all about the trial. I'll release that one probably over the weekend. And then I just did episode 3 with him, finishing it off. And that one, we talk a little bit more about the Jews. Okay. And I should probably temper, and I will do an intro about it, and we'll talk about it tonight as well. But a little bit more about it tonight, about kind of my feelings on some of this, and it's not nuanced. I think there's, look, is Hamas animals? Yeah, likely. Do they have reasons why they're like this? Yeah, and are they pointed at the Israelis? Yeah, definitely. But even okay, so Hamas out of this, Israel and a lot of the Zionists think that the Palestinians are animals. Okay, now I don't think they're the same. If that's, let's even take it. I don't believe that, but let's just take their word for it. They're not the same kind of animals as Hamas. Okay, you don't necessarily have to treat your animals inhumane, and that is part of the problem. Israel thinks that they shouldn't even have animals, so they shouldn't exist. So that's part of that the issue we have there. Anyway, did those episodes. Now what are we going to do? We're going to show a few things. I'm going to start in with this thing has been going crazy, really viral. We'll play this here. I am live, right? There's no one coming in. Okay, you guys have probably seen this interview, but we'll play it regardless. Ready? Let's go. By the way, this is some politician in populist type of politician in Canada. Personally, I think eating the apple like this is pretty manly. But what if you had a knife and you just peeled the apple, and then you cut it and you ate it off of the knife? That might be a little bit more strong. But anyway, let's start here. Let's check out this interview.
On the topic, I mean, in terms of your sort of strategy currently, you're obviously taking the populist pathway.
What does that mean?
Well, appealing to people's more emotional levels, I would guess. I mean, certainly you tap very strong ideological language quite frequently.
Like what?
Left wing, you know, this and that, right wing. You know, I mean, it's that type of ideological thing.
I never really talk about left
but
or right.
Anyways,
really believe in that.
Okay, a lot of people would say that you're simply taking a page out of the Donald Trump book.
Like which people would say that?
Well, I'm sure a great many Canadians, but...
Like who?
I'm stopping it here. By the way, welcome in, guys. This was a fantastic interview, partly because this... I don't even remember this guy's Pierre something, this Canadian guy. Because he forces... This is what it is. This is some guy coming up to do a book report he hasn't prepared. Okay, that's literally what it is. You got to be better as a journalist. Okay, or this is like me going to court, not really knowing, and the judge pushes back. Okay, well, that's nice. That's your opinion. Now cite me case law of why we should take these, you know, why I should rule in your favor. Well, you know, by the way, that has happened. So this journalist can't, and I hate the thing. People are saying, you mean you? That's okay. We'll let this go. Sorry to keep chiming in here.
I don't know who, but...
Well, you're the one who asked the question, so yeah. You must know somebody.
Okay. I'm sure there's some out there, but anyways, the point of this question is, I mean, why should Canadians trust you with their vote, given, you know, not just the sort of ideological inclination in terms of taking the page of Donald Trump's book, but
what are you
also
talking about? What page? Can you give me a page? Give me the page. You keep
in terms of turning things quite dramatically in terms of Trudeau and the left wing and all of this. I mean, you make quite a, you know, it's quite a play that you make on it. So I'm
not sure.
Wondering.
I don't know what your question
okay.
is.
Okay, then forget that. Why should Canadians trust you with their vote?
Common sense. Okay. Common sense for a change. We're going to make common sense common in this country. We don't have any common sense in the current government. You know, the guy prints $600 billion, grows our money.
I was just going to say, like what? Like that's what the journalist should have said. Like what? And then he's got the answer.
Money supply by 32% in 3 years. That's growing the money 8 times faster than the economy. No wonder we have the worst inflation in 4 decades. I'm going to cap spending, cut waste, so that we can balance the budget and bring down inflation and interest rates. You'll want to be able to pay your mortgage again. You want to be able to afford rent. Then you have to vote for Pierre Poilievre, because I'm the only one with a common sense plan that will bring back the buying power of your paycheck.
Okay, so a few details there. One, you know, Canadians are known to be, and we got some chats in here. I'll highlight you guys in a second. Canadians are known to be the more polite. So maybe this is the Javier Milei of Canada. Wait, there's a bug in here for some reason. Javier Milei of Canada, right? He's kind of pointed. You know, Javier goes out there and he's just, you're a piece of shit and, you know, socialist, da da, and he just yells and stuff. This is the nicer version, but kind of doing the same thing. So perhaps, but that's what we have with that interview. Okay, so we got some people. Oh, it's stop it. Okay, we'll remove that out there. So Eddie Grimm's in here. Hope you had a good day, Tyler. I did for the most part. Not Ron says, oh my God. Hi, Tyler. This is a great interview. Yes, he did. That was fantastic. This could be Canada's next PM, but I don't think there'll be an election till 2025. Yeah, probably not. More like Ron DeSantis of Canada. Possibly. Yeah, I guess so. I'm not a big DeSantis fan myself. I'm not a hater either. But yeah, whatever. That's what it is. Okay, so I thought we would feature tonight. We're going to, let's remove, stop the screen. Okay, so I'm going to bring in this interview, which I thought was pretty good, or at least entertaining. Same. Okay. Yeah, not run to say. I think you're talking about DeSantis. Okay, so this is Austin Peterson. He has a morning show. He's pretty decent. I would just give a little background. Austin Peterson got me into the libertarian sphere. Okay, he's the one that, you know, the drain is spinning. I'm just kind of sitting on the end. Somehow he kicked me in there, and then I got spun straight through down. How I saw him on a hey what's up now? Good evening, Tyler. Thank you. I saw him on a an interview on Glenn Beck for the 2016 election. And he said some things I'd never really heard before. And so then it got me down this rabbit hole, and we don't need to get into all that, but that eventually got me down that spot. Okay. Now, whether I'm still there or not, that's a different story, but I thought there were some good things that Austin Peterson had to say at the time. And here's what they are, which I thought was important. One, he had worked for Judge Napolitano. And so there was a good connection there. But he's not really, I think he's an atheist, but he gave the argument for being a libertarian and pro-life. And I was like, cause that was a concern of mine, that you see that a lot of left libertarians are not that way. And I was like, oh, interesting. Okay. And his take on it, I thought was, really, really good. And he was the Dave Smith, in a sense, like open borders or closed borders, gives you kind of the libertarian argument side. And that's what we do as attorneys all the time. We have arguments on one side or the other. You know, Hasness, his book, you know, the Myth of the Rule of Law, that's the whole idea of that little section of the Anarchist Handbook. I think both he and Keith Knight included those in their two handbooks. But the point of that is you have, we call them wobblers in court and law school, right? Which is, it could go either way. You make one argument on one side, and you see that all the time. I mean, we have that, you know, I've just been digging in. This is Raoul Berger's, it's a thick book called The Judiciary, Government by Judiciary. It's all about the 14th Amendment. Really good. And the idea is the 14th Amendment was never drafted to extend to the states. Okay, people, we can talk about this. Andy and I are pretty strong on this. Talking about this till the cows come home, and this book outlines, and it's very obvious with the original intent of what the states, what the government, the general government, the powers were, but it's been, you know, changed since then. And why? Because people have different opinions on different things. Point is, that was kind of the Austin Peterson segue into there. Okay. So Austin Peterson comes out, remember a few months ago or last year or so, he's arguing online on Twitter about the reasonableness for bombing Hiroshima, Nagasaki, whatever, the two cities in World War II to end it. He's for it. It's fine. Okay, whatever. I don't know how I feel about that necessarily. I haven't really dug into that one. Maybe like the Israeli conflict. So, but he comes out here and he's putting out tweets. And he's putting out tweets about the Israeli thing. And it's this is what bothers me about this one is duality of patriotism or whatnot, which is, it's fascinating. I'm German. I told this to Pete, and it'll be on his last segment that we had Leo Frank coming out probably next week, Pete Quinones. And I'm like, you know, I'm German descent. Would it be weird if I started to wear a German uniform and claiming I'm America first? That is just really odd, but that's what's happening. I mean, you're seeing the guy, the congressman wearing his IDF uniform. Ben Shapiro is yelling about every, I mean, it's so crazy. It's really not America first. It's America first in line. And Austin Peterson put out a tweet about libertarians and he'll talk about it here. So we'll watch the interview, but puts out a tweet, and I came back at him, and he was going back and forth with me because I'm like, why'd you mention Israel? That it really has nothing to do with, cause he's talking about how libertarians hate the government so much that they're stupid on foreign policy, and by extension, Israel. And I'm like, why Israel? Why'd you pick that nation? Just randomly, is it? Or is there some sort of loyalty oath that everyone feels that they need? And by the way, I've come a long way on this situation, much different. I never really got into it, but I was just right-wing. And so right-wing, you just take the Jewish perspective or the Israeli pro, and you just go. And Arab bad, Israeli good. I've been digging into it a lot lately, and there's some craziness going on there. Okay, so maybe let's play this interview, Austin Peterson. So there was some back and forth with me, and then Clint Russell, much bigger account, obviously, commented on my tweet and then went after Austin. I don't know if he saw it from me, but he was like, this is insane. And then he and Austin have. So here we go.
Where he took umbrage with a lot of the things that I've been saying about Israel, Hamas, interventionism, and libertarians. So we had a little debate and I brought it to you right now. Enjoy this respectful disagreement over the libertarian principles involved in the conflict between Israel and Hamas. Good morning, Horizon Freedom. I'm Austin Peterson. You're watching and listening to the Wake Up America Show at wakeupamericashow.com. We're glad to have you here. Don't forget to click that like button and subscribe to the channel and join us every Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central.
By the way, Austin does much better than me at selling his show. So everyone, right now, just like, subscribe, click, comment, whatever you're doing, share the show around. That's what this is all about. And by the way, I hope you enjoyed the Leo Frank stuff. I'm going to do a little bit more that I've done with Pete. Like I said, I'm going to post it all up on ours so you can check it all out there. And then perhaps we'll do a little bit more dive into some of that stuff and some of the legal things, because I think that not necessarily true crime stuff, but I think I'm going to go into the killdozer. That has been a problem for me from the libertarian perspective, is you shits all think that this is such a great guy pushing against the system. No, the only system he was pushing against was internal. Okay, he was fucking crazy. Okay, let's go here.
Central time. So we can all rise in freedom together. We fight for economic freedom and personal liberty on the show. So those are your values. You definitely came to the right place. We'd like to have you come back and join us as a great way to start your day. All right. Well, AP got in some hot water over the weekend with some of his comments. Many big libertarians out there in the movement, specifically at twitter.com, which is admittedly maybe not the best place for these kinds of dialogues, said that
it's not the best place for the dialogues, but it's better than real life because I can mute and block people.
AP didn't know what he was talking about.
Like the Israeli people, and yet in real life, they just continue on.
Well, you know what? I said it's time for us to have these conversations, I guess, mano a mano, face to face to some extent, right? At least for whatever the internet will allow. And maybe we'll come to some better terms of agreement. Join me now to discuss is one gentleman who had some hot takes on my hot takes over the weekend on the Israel versus Hamas conflict. His name's Clint Russell. You know him as Liberty Lock Pod on twitter.com, and he's joining us live right now. Well, I guess it's a pre-record, so, but just don't tell him that. Okay, Clint, thanks for joining us. Glad to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Yeah, I mean, you and I have had a good relationship, so I figured I could fire back and give you some of your own mustard, if you will. But yeah, if you wanted to read the tweet so I can explain why it was offensive to me.
Sure. This is what I wrote. I said, I've been in the libertarian movement for going on 15 years now. So I started in 2007. And I said, when it comes to the foreign policy question, I've come to the conclusion many libertarians hate the United States more than they love freedom. That's why you get this reflexive anti-US and by extension anti-Israel narrative. So
okay, so that's where I commented, because he said by extension anti-Israeli. No, that's I don't give a shit about any of these other countries. It's all about America, and that's why I said, why are you bringing up Israel? Why Israel? Why? It's so interesting that you said them and not Ukraine, right? Maybe Ukraine would have been one. Maybe Syria. Maybe any other conflict, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan. Why Israel? Why is Israel the one that you're not supposed to push back on? That to me was the thing. Okay, so wait, whoa. We gotta stop here because shit storm hitting the fan here. My girlfriend is so hot. This guy is so, Andy said that. He is so over the moon. He can't even come in here, but happy birthday to his girlfriend. Okay, let's keep going.
Often. And why so many of them buy into 9/11 truth or narratives at home that coincide with Black Lives Matter and Rashida Tlaib types. I thought for a while, it's likely some are actually being manipulated.
And by the way, when I said Israel to him, he came back and said, oh, well, if that bothers you, maybe you need to think about why. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, look, I like Austin. We're mutuals on Twitter. But why would you say that's, and as Clint posted on under me, he goes, hey, he's just trying to gaslight you. It's like, yeah, it's the identity politics thing, right? It's like, oh, interesting. So you don't like black people or you're an anti-Semite. It's like, no, I don't want to be, you know what, we are Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride and Vicini or whatever the guy's name is, you know, he is being protected by Andre the Giant, and he is Israel. And if we just moved out of the way or were killed, now he's got to do Battle of the Wits with Dread Pirate Roberts, and likely he's going to die. So, you know, Israel is big and tough because they have America behind them. Let's see how they would be if they didn't. And that would be the interesting part. Okay. Or you should be called anti-Semitic.
Manipulated or even directly paid by foreign powers. But then there are the useful idiots. The few who are objective and can see the faults in every government are few and far between. So there's a lot to unpack there, Clint. Do you want to go ahead and start?
Yeah, that's going to be the hard part with that. It was quite the diatribe against your people, Austin. Why are you backstabbing us? How dare you? All right. Yeah, so I guess, first off, I mean, do you deny that the United States government had some involvement, at least with the minimum of covering up on 9/11?
Wait, you went to 9/11?
Oh, for sure. Oh, you mean like the 9/11 Commission report? Absolutely. See, my conspiracy was that it was in the cover-up, just like Israel's intelligence failures that led up to this attack. My argument on 9/11 was that they're trying to cover their asses for not being able to properly assess the threats.
Well, that's certainly possible. Setting aside the fact that they flew out bin Laden's relatives in the days right after, it just seems kind of shocking that they would know, you know, who those people are and to get them out of the country right away if they didn't know that it was going to come in the first place. I think it's an interesting, it's worth exploring more. But all right, so...
Was the 9/11 truth part, was that really the one you took the most umbrage with?
Not at all. I took
umbrage with...
There's a lot to cover. I took umbrage with basically every word in that tweet.
Good. What was the part that you took the most umbrage with?
Well, the most umbrage was...
A lot of the word umbrage. Garbage Main says, Clint is under the weather, huh? I don't know. Is he? He's on a high rise in Miami. Is that under the weather? By the way, rumor has it, Martha Bueno is divorced. So speaking of Miami, let's go.
Saying that for a long time, I've suspected that people might be getting paid to have these opinions. And I mean, I'll grant you, and you and I went back and forth a little bit after that, like, undoubtedly there are people in the political world that are bought off for their opinions. I just think it's really, really laughable to accuse libertarians, this entity that makes no money, that we're being, we have no political power, that we would actually be bought off to have these terrible.
Garbage. Andy says his voice sounds different. Look, it might have been it's early morning. He's notorious for not waking up early. Second of all, he's got a great radio voice. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. He looks like he just woke up. Yeah, so I think that's exactly the issue. By the way, when Austin had his actual radio show, I think it was in Kansas, he had Drew on there, our boy Drew, and it was fucking early. It's just early. Is Clint sitting under a heat lamp? Maybe so. Clint sleeps with a mask on. True. He probably sleeps under a heat lamp with a mask, so he's got the tan lines already. Okay.
Whatever. Opinions from your vantage point.
If I were to provide a name to you of someone who was directly paid by a foreign government that you would know, would you change your mind on that?
Well, I would imagine you're going to go with Scott Ritter.
No.
Okay, well then, yeah, go for it.
I got another big Kokesh. Name. Kokesh.
He's paid by a foreign government?
He was paid by the Russian government to...
By the way, okay, Adam Kokesh was paid by... Now, he's going to get into the details here, but come on, is that the gotcha everyone assumed? Is that the gotcha everyone assumed it was going to be? Adam Kokesh, the stoner bus guy? He's paid for it by, what, Jamaica? I'm guessing Jamaica with all the weed. Let's guess.
Did you do a show on Russia Today? Did you know
He had a show on Russia Today.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. No, I didn't know that, but I thought you meant, a little bit more
beers
under the table, like we're actually bought off in the cloak of darkness.
I think that probably happens too, but there are some libertarians who have been paid openly by foreign powers to spread propaganda that is for foreign governments, right? So that was what I was thinking about specifically. I think
I was thinking about.
If you vote for Adolf Hitler as the Libertarian Party candidate.
Sounds like to me that guy's been paid off
for Adolf Hitler.
Oh, I shot
had no idea what I was talking about there. They thought that maybe I was talking about subtly about Scott Horton or like Ritter, as you've labeled here. But I'm talking specifically about an example of someone who was actually literally paid by a foreign government to spread propaganda, who calls himself an anarcho-capitalist.
Yeah.
And how prominent is Adam Kokesh? Okay, maybe back in the day, I don't know, he had his bus, he had his, guy, some like homeless guy that was his producer.
Well, I personally don't have a problem with, another country, because I mean, is that really being paid by the Russian government? Is RT actually funded the entirety?
Yeah, that's state funded media.
Okay. Well, yeah. So I mean, I think is. Well, I didn't know that.
He got him there, people. That's news to you. I'm sorry. That's just not a gotcha. He's paid. Look, I would work. I would go on RT today. How do I know that Adam Kokesh was selling out and selling, you know, propaganda info? It's not like he was wearing a communist shirt like Adam.
he had a job with them. What's I thought he had like disappeared, you know, off the face of the earth. But no, it's not news to me that RT is state funded. I just didn't know if it was 100%. Like Canada has.
Rod says Palestine is poor because they spent all their money bribing libertarians. Right. And Adam Kokesh is the one that they wanted. Not Ron Paul, not Daniel McAdams. Adam Kokesh.
Same nonsense.
McAdams. Yeah, same.
And I've had some non-libertarians that have worked for RT. You know, I think that I guess my angle on this, and this is part of your critique, is that I have a lot of concerns about my own.
I mean, Austin worked for Fox News. You know, GOP funded, perhaps, huh?
Own government that perhaps Jewish supersede Israel. That of foreign governments, and I think you find that concerning. But I think that my track record with this is like just studying all of the conflicts of my lifetime and realizing that over and over again we're dealing with a government that is not working, you know, for our best interests, and that is deceptive, and that has led us afoul over and over and over and over again. And every time we question them, we're called the same things. We're called you know, Putin apologists, we're called, we stand with Assad, we stand with Saddam, the list goes on, and it's just not real. It's not, I mean, I have no affinity for Vladimir Putin, I have no affinity for Saddam Hussein, and it's...
But you know that the head of the Ron Paul Institute does have an affinity for Putin and has openly claimed that he supports him.
Yes.
Okay, look, Andy and I have gone after McAdams, okay? He just said it here, now he's saying, oh, look, he's openly supported Putin. Yeah, he's just... I love Daniel McAdams, and he's also the complete dumbest guy I've ever seen. He wears, I mean, you're communist? Whatever. I don't know what to say. But it's not Ron Paul. But you know what? Ron Paul, Dr. Okay. Paul loves it.
So that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but he's also a Catholic. And I think that his personal opinions on Putin does not demonstrate the, you know, or does not undermine my non-interventionist position and my
right,
concern
but I'm not
about
talking
the United
about
States
you
government.
Then, right? So, I mean, in the very last sentence of my tweet there, I specifically carved out an exception for people like yourself, for people like Dave Smith, for people who I think...
He did carve out an exception. However, when I said Israel, he's like, oh, sounds like it's a you problem. I'm like, wait, I'm wondering why you're conflating pro-American stuff. That's me. I mean, I am still, as an anarcho-capitalist, mostly... I still am pro-American on a lot of things, but I'm not like pro-American in your business.
I think have genuine concerns and who don't.
Well, you carved
Putin.
Out some space. You called carved out some space by calling us useful idiots.
Right.
Because
yes.
We're not being paid for this. Well, I mean, that's.
Well, some are. Some are useful idiots. Right. And for example, probably the best example of that would be Jackson Hinkle. Are you aware?
Yeah, I know.
He's
I know.
Not a libertarian. He's an avowed communist.
Love him. I don't
who
know
calls
well.
Himself a MAGA communist, for example, who openly supports Russia, thinks
there
the United
you go.
States should be more like China.
Oh, yeah.
His tweet was about libertarians. Sorry, Austin, I know you'll never see this, but let's say on the off chance someone sends it to you, your tweet was about a libertarians. Now you're talking Jackson Hinkle. He's soy boy.
From right.
Yeah.
Right. But
he's an idiot.
Yes,
exactly. And so that's what I'm calling out. He is a useful idiot for China and for Russia, is he not?
But he's not.
As Andy says, Israel for me, Russia for the.
He's a MAGA communist. I mean,
but wasn't he there at the anti-war rally, for example, flying that Russia's flag in the background?
Yeah, I mean, but there was lots and lots of speakers there that weren't libertarians. That was a, you know, a reaching across the aisle. I mean, I saw another tweet from you later on that was critiquing, you know, the Damn Wars rally, which, by the way, I was a speaker at, along with Ron Paul and Scott Horton and a bunch of great libertarians. And I thought it was one of the.
I wish they would invite me. I would go in there. The topics I would pick might not be what they want, but I would
most beautiful events I've
thrill
ever been a part of, you know, despite the fact that some lunatics came around, you know, holding up Russian flags in the background. Is it your contention that was useful idiot behavior to be trying to implore for peace in Ukraine?
Not necessarily. I think for some it is, perhaps.
Austin's not wrong necessarily on this. I had trouble with that rally because of the joining with the communists. And the kid the diddler. So
yes, I do think that for some they are being manipulated by foreign powers. I think if I were to go to a libertarian anti-war event,
that's interesting. So he's worried about foreign powers, but how much The Israeli lobby is huge in the U.S. A dude wore, a congressman wore an IDF uniform. You are concerned about cash going on RT today as some sort of propaganda, yet a guy wore an IDF uniform to work in Congress. Hello. I mean, come on.
Say that the United States, you know, pays off people in foreign countries to spread American propaganda. No one would bat an eye. But if I suggest that Russia or China or North Korea operates in a similar fashion here in the United States, people would demand sources like you did or take umbrage with the idea that foreign intelligence agencies operate in a very similar way to American intelligence agencies. And I think that ultimately what we're working our way towards really is this conversation that we need to be having about the arguments of moral equivalence. So when we talk about moral equivalence, you know, the question of whether or not you can compare, you know, the United States to Russia, it's a little bit more murky, right? It's a little more difficult. I think that there isn't one, but, you know, we could debate that all day. Israel versus Hamas, like a literal terror cell versus the government of Israel, as many problems as I have with the socialistic government of Israel and the problems of Gaza and the West Bank, I don't think that there's a moral equivalence there. I think it's a little bit more clear. But again, there's another thing that we can debate. But I think my problem really comes down to this question of, for example, when we talk about, you know, Israel and Hamas and these conflicts, is the conflation with the concepts of what we might call murder in the first degree with the idea of collateral damage, which could be at worst described perhaps as involuntary manslaughter. So you know the difference between first degree murder and involuntary manslaughter.
Sure.
But what I notice quite frequently is that there is this conflation amongst libertarian identifying anarchists, that the idea that defending yourself with the possibility that collateral damage might occur makes one a war criminal or makes one.
Whoa. Okay, let's back up there. He tries to say, look. Okay. There's first degree murder, which is the intent to kill with malice aforethought. Okay. The killing of a human being with malice aforethought, and it could be by different means, whatever. We don't need to get into that. Then he says manslaughter. Manslaughter can be negligence. The typical idea is you shoot a gun at a train. Okay, someone happens to be in this train and they're killed. Okay, now, I mean, there's multiple different degrees, but that's kind of the manslaughter idea, which is the negligence idea. There's the second degree, and then there's just manslaughter. So now, if it's a cargo train just carrying wheat and whatnot, and some homeless vagrant happens to be in there, you didn't know it was in there, you're just playing around, okay, perhaps. Now, if it's a Amtrak and it's a bunch of filled with people, that's not necessarily negligence that you're doing this. It's wanton disregard for a human life. So, but manslaughter is still murder. It's the unlawful killing of a human being without justification, okay? You may have done it by negligence, vehicular homicide or something like that. So, but he's trying to equate killing civilians with manslaughter. You can still be put in prison for manslaughter. So it still might be a war crime there, Austin. Manslaughter might not be what you're intending, okay? You might say a justified killing would be something more along the lines of what you're talking about. I don't know.
As guilty of murder, as someone who launches a strike that is an obvious violation of the non-aggression principle in initiating force, and then to have that retaliatory force be placed in the same label. Even Murray Rothbard didn't agree with those kinds of characterizations, and when he claimed that oftentimes in war, there is one side that is more to blame with another. So, I mean,
sure.
Do you see what I'm being very deliberate here? And
by the way, he's also, and he probably gets to this later, but is shooting at trains a thing there? I'm just giving an example, okay? It could be. Maybe this is a thing in the 1930s when hobos were roaming the countryside.
And arguing that there's a problem when you say that collateral damage is the same as murder one. It's more like involuntary manslaughter. Am I wrong?
Okay, but you could still be put in prison for involuntary manslaughter, okay? you're not absolved from a murder of someone. Matter of fact, it's reckless disregard. That's what involuntary manslaughter is. You still did something that was egregious and just beyond negligence, okay? So you've just done something that was not appropriate, okay? It's not like, I was driving my car, I had to swerve to miss a wreck, and I ended up killing someone else. That's not necessarily, it's just an accident, okay? We're not talking an accident here. Okay, so involuntary manslaughter is, you think you still don't serve time for involuntary manslaughter? You think that's an excuse? Come on. I know you're not an attorney. Well, And I'm not a very good one, but actually I am a good one.
I don't think you're necessarily wrong as long as the war is justified. If you enter a war.
And by the way, what he's condemning here, I think he just said was, you've got a school shooter. Let's think of a school shooter. School shooter is Hamas. Horrible person, da 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 da. So the retaliation is going to be, we're going to kill indiscriminately his family, their neighbors, anybody around, the relatives, the whole community that this guy was from, simply because he was a school shooter. You don't do that, Austin Peterson.
Or that is illegal and unconstitutional.
Is it Peterson or Peterson?
Unfortunately, that was my experience growing up. I don't think that there really is a tremendous amount of difference because the collateral damage and even the people that you are targeting intentionally are all being killed incorrectly. Obviously, yes. I'm referencing Iraq in this situation. But yeah, no, I think you're obviously right that collateral damage versus the targeting of children intentionally and, you know, defiling their bodies and all this. Yeah, there's different scales to this thing. I just think that the ultimate end result is the same tragedy that there are innocent people being killed.
Absolutely. And nobody wants to see that happen. But I think my problem with most libertarians as they articulate foreign policy.
We'll see here, but I wouldn't say most people don't want to see that happen. Bongino, the guy that's wearing the IDF uniform, everyone, Ben Shapiro, a lot of these people are saying, destroy, make Gaza glass. That seems like just, that's more than just.
Ultimately, what it amounts to is a form of suicide. And I don't say that hyperbolically, I say it descriptively, because, for example, if my enemy holds themselves up in a children's hospital and is shooting at me with a sniper rifle, and the only weapon that I have is a grenade to fire back and defend myself, you know, am I morally obligated to take that bullet besides, you know, just standing there and actually fighting back? No, I don't think so. I don't think that anyone is required to commit suicide in such a way. And of course, if we extrapolate, you know, individual self-defense to the defense of nation states, then I think that in regards to collateral damage, even in a debate with Jacob Hornberger, right, who is, you know, a well-known, renowned anarcho-capitalist writer, former libertarian presidential candidate himself, has stated that while we were having a debate about the justification of the use of atomic weapons, say that while he doesn't agree with the use of the nuclear weapons, he does agree that collateral damage is a unfortunate side effect of war that is unavoidable, but is not the same as, again, like you say, the intentional targeting of children and civilians, such as how Hamas carried out this terror attack against, you know, liberal Israel.
The problem with Austin's scenario here is you've got basically fish in a small pond, which is Gaza. They've talked about Gaza being the most densely populated area on Earth, okay? More than China. Think about that. That's just 2 million people packed in this little area. So it's pretty easy for Israel. And by the way, there's no escape. And these are all things I'm learning as well. They can only either escape out the rear, which is into Egypt, or out the north, which is into Jerusalem, and into Israel. And Israel's like, fuck that, we're not having that. So they're just basically like able to, this densely populated area is like, oh, we're hiding behind kids. I'm sorry, it's everywhere in there. It's not like a military base. If you've seen it, it's just all concrete buildings. Everything has kids around them. Everything. Why? Because, and by the way, Ben Shapiro put out this video, and I would encourage everyone to go check it out. It's Dave Smith rebuked it all and just did a fantastic job. I mean, you've got all these people, they're refugees. They're literally refugees, and now they're in there. I'm not justifying Hamas, by the way. By the way, I will say this. I've seen certain people, Kyle, on Twitter say Hamas is better than Israel. No, they're all just a bunch of shit. By the way, I called them all the Hamas / or even Palestinian / Israel thing. They're all sixes. They're like the libertarian six chick that's going out there with her stupid yoga pants. She's dangerous. She'll fuck up your marriage. Don't follow her. Block her if you can. I wish you could do this with this conflict, but you can't. But you don't give them attention. You don't feed into them because that's what they want. Okay, people are commenting here. Andrew Hosfeld, by the way, Andrew, you're always too complicated for me to really understand. Killing Japanese didn't bother me very much at the time. I suppose I had lost the war. I would have tried to be as a war criminal. Every soldier thinks something of the moral aspects of what he is doing, but all war is immoral. And if you let that bother you, you're not a good soldier, General Curtis LeMay. Could be. I'm not really sure what you're saying there. I hope you're agreeing. I'll just assume you're agreeing. I'm a little buzzed at this point. Okay, let's keep going.
Israelis who were at a dance festival. So I guess my big problem here.
By the way, the dance festival thing is really odd. You've got Gaza right there. You've got a wall. And then supposedly this dance festival is right on the other side. Sketchy. Why would you do that? Why would you do that?
I don't see a coherent foreign policy from libertarians, specifically anarcho-capitalist described libertarians, that doesn't say, well, I got this from Scott Horton. Everything refers back to one person who has one point of view, and I don't see an original thought amongst them. It's just, I'm morally superior because I say I'm anti.
But the problem with Austin, he makes some points here, but the problem is, who are you going with? Who's your North Star for foreign policy?
It strikes me as a simplification of very complex things.
Well, I'll grant you that Scott Horton has been an influence in my understanding of foreign policy, and I don't really make any apologies for that, but I don't think I've had this belief of non-intervention long before I read or knew of Scott Horton. So he has just kind of helped give a little bit more of a backdrop to my understanding of some of our prior wars and the insanity of it all.
Who else?
What's that?
Has there been anybody else that has been a sort of thought leader on yours when it comes to foreign policy? And you don't say Ron Paul.
Not in the libertarian realm. I've read Don Mearsheimer quite a bit. I'll admit that Scott Horton is absolutely a major influence, but I mean, you'd have to then contend that his work has actually been off base, keeping in mind that his most recent book is just a compilation.
Who's the gay guy at antiwar.com that's now dead? He was pretty good too.
Of quotes of State Department, and like, it's just like laying out the actual history of our own contentions, public or privately, through WikiLeaks, that like actually lay out all of the reasons that we got into this conflict in Ukraine. And I do say that intentionally, that we got into this conflict, because it is quite clear that we ignored, at a minimum, repeated warnings from them. But setting that aside, let's go back to the Israel-Hamas issue. I think that, you know, my concern about your perspective with this is that there so far, and granted, this is fog of war time, we can't prove it at this point, but the early reports are that there's 700 to 800 kids in the past week in Palestine that have been killed. And it's like, there's a level of callousness when we talk about this that I can only, and I watched your debate with Keith Woods as well, and it strikes me that you perceive the Palestinian people, not just Hamas, but it does seem that the entire culture of Palestine versus the Israelis, as the inferior culture. And I'll grant you, there are cultures that I think are better and those that are worse. I mean, I think that's a lot of you know, bleeding heart libertarians won't acknowledge that off top. So let me get that out of the way. I do acknowledge that. But it doesn't change. What's that?
That's a very important point.
No, it's not. And here's why. Okay. If you, everything being equal, the opportunity to succeed and to flourish as a culture, and you're still in the Stone Age, I get it. But since 1948, this particular people have been put into an open air cage and subjected. And it's crazy. I've been watching so many documentaries on this stuff. They're literally in Palestine or the West Bank, and they're all their belongings are ripped out of their house, and a Jewish guy and his brother with a backpack just moving to their house. It's the same house. Some lady's calling another one a whore, and they're making a move. It's crazy. You think that you are going to be a superior culture when you are dominated like that? It's insane. It's insane. So, Austin, I don't give you the benefit of the doubt on this one. How about you say Justin Amash? Is Justin Amash, as a Palestinian American, is he lesser than you are as an American? Okay? Because that's really what you're saying. By the way, it came out. I mean, look, there's been a hospital, Christian hospital. I saw a thing, and it's Al Jazeera. I'll give you the benefit. I don't know who's telling the truth here, but I don't. This is what's fascinating. Some of the MAGA people here that I followed here with the COVID stuff, that one day I was on spaces with them doing a bunch of stuff about Hunter Biden and his family law stuff. And so I got a bunch of followers from them. Great. But now they're posting all this Israeli stuff. And I'm like, oh, and it's fascinating. They're like, the Israeli government said this was a strike. I'm like, you don't believe your own government for COVID. You'd believe that they would lie about whatever. However, you're okay with, you think that now Israeli government is not going to lie in the fog of war. That is insanity. It's insanity. So anyway, let's keep on here.
I think that definitely separates us from the left libertarians. And what my point was there was the Rashida Tlaib AOC types, because that's really what you're referring to there.
Yeah, I wanted to. David said one of the oldest Orthodox churches was bombed. Yeah, the church was bombed, the hospital, and they're Christian. And I'm like, wow, interesting. Somehow a Christian church or an Orthodox church can exist in Gaza, right? Somehow that is fine. That's working out. Let that this kind of ring in your head a little bit. Somehow, do you think a Jewish synagogue would it last there? No. So maybe that's the problem, right? Somehow the Christians are able to coexist, but those two other ones aren't. And some of those are he said, let me join so I can. Oh, God, really? I have to invite this guy? People, do you guys want to have David? David come in here? Okay, so I'll send David a link here. Let's see if I have David's. David, is that a Jewish name? Isn't that a Jewish name? David, there you go. Okay, David, I'm sending you a link. Come on in. Hang on, sorry. This is what you get, Andy. This is what you get when you don't join up. You get David. Okay.
As part of my tweet, that at some point, some libertarians really do identify with the ideology of those who tear down statues here in the United States.
Yeah. I think that's certainly true. I'm not so much concerned with statues as I am with those 700 or 800 Palestinian kids that had no say in this. And, I feel bad, comparably bad to the innocents that were killed in Israel. But, you know, my opinion of their cultural superiority on either side of the fence doesn't really change my opinion of the value of a child. Like that is where I draw the line, and where I try to advocate on behalf of peace and of rational response to try and counter everything we saw after 9/11, the illegal invasion of multiple nations that had nothing to do with those attacks. And what I see right now is kind of a wanton violence, one that's lashing out in justifiable anger as to what's transpired. But I feel like if the libertarians are to have anything to say in this time, and granted, I think this is the time that we ought to be saying the most, the time that we actually have an opportunity to change the trajectory, potentially, particularly of the United States government, or at least the general ethos by which our government gets some sort of moral authority to act, to provide funding and weapons and aid, and perhaps get sucked into a larger war. This is when we ought to be speaking out. And our history, given that we have been right about the insanity of all of the wars in my lifetime, is to let people know that very forcefully, that we are being led by the nose to something that is not our business. And granted, yes, we have had some hand in making things worse over there, but let's not make it worse. If we can just march in, we can just march out the whole Ron Paul line. And that's my goal in this moment, is to point out that we are being propaganda.
I will say, I don't think Austin is fomenting that Americans need to be involved necessarily with money. But with that in mind, if not, I mean, then why the pushback? Okay, we've got David Brady here. He's got glasses on and everything. Add him in here. Hang on. Sorry. There you go. How you doing, David?
Howdy. I'm doing pretty good. Sorry about the glasses. I felt lazy today, so I didn't throw in contact.
Are those new, or have you had those the whole time? You just have not. You've been using them.
I've just not been using them, to be honest. I like the design of these glasses, but you know. Around the same time I got him, a documentary about a certain Wisconsin serial killer came out, and so he has glasses similar.
You do. By the way, I have glasses now, I had eye surgery a few years ago, and I haven't had to use them, and then all of a sudden my eyes have been going bad, but I don't need them for doing what I'm doing here, so yeah. Oh, welcome. Yeah. Glad we could talk about what do you think about Fox and Sons coffee? Yeah.
I mean, last I heard about Fox and Sons coffee, it's really good for fighting off homeless people, right? That's what I said last time.
Let me talk to you real quick here. First thing I want to know is, what do your parents think about the conflict in Israel?
I'm pretty sure. So my dad's a Buchananite. So I think he loosely likes Israel more. But he does not want money sent over there. I don't think he wants money sent over to any other country other than America. So I think that's firmly his stance. I don't think my mom is very fond of the nation state of Israel, to say the least.
Okay.
So I think that's kind of their stance on that. And
I think unique for a conservative household. The Buchananite thing makes sense then.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, that's kind of their opinion. At least I would have to ask my dad what he thinks about this, but I'm assuming, I mean, I could bother him on Twitter real quick, but otherwise, you know.
No, because me personally growing up, you know, pretty conservative, never really had a thought about it. Christian, you just kind of, you know, like, oh, I'd like to go there. You know, my church has gone over there for visitation and you know, seen the Holy Land and whatnot. Never really thought much about it. And then this conflict happens and I start to dig into it more. And I'm like, you know, I've never really taken a chance to understand how it was developed. And it's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. It's certainly a history. It's something I mean, I need to get Sheldon Richman's book, you know, Come Into Palestine, so I can like get the full thing of it. But for the longest time, I mean, I've never really been the most fond of the nation state of Israel, even during like my conservative phase. I mean, for the longest time, I don't know why, but I just had this instinct that, oh, the Palestinians are being treated poorly at the very least. And so I generally don't support, you know, I've always kind of had that mentality of like, hey, I don't want to support the nation state of Israel. This is before, like, you know, you learn about the things about like 9/11 or the USS Liberty that makes you think, oh, maybe they really don't like us. You know, but I mean, I've always kind of had those instincts where I've never really been the most fond of Israel as a nation state. So I don't know. That's where I'm coming from. So I was, even when like I would watch Ben Shapiro, like I loved watching Ben Shapiro stuff for the longest time. Like I think every conservative teenager does for a little bit. I mean, for even then, I didn't like his Israel grilling and stuff. I wasn't a fan of that at all.
So I will say, like, you know, I'm much older than you. Obviously, I've got a son that's actually older than you. So, you know, when 9/11 happened, I'm like all in. And, you know, but with some hindsight, I've changed my mind a bit now. And, you know, and it is, and I've taken this concept where for libertarians solving problems, which is, and I see this with Scott Horton, especially with the Mideast, and even Max Blumenthal, I think, has done a lot of stuff here, which is, what is the root cause? You see so many times school debt as an example, college debt. Donald Trump has a solution. Bernie Sanders has a solution. And it's all like trying to put something on the end of a fire hose that's squirting, which all you have to do is go back to where the water's, the pump is, and just turn it off. Right. The actual problem is back there. And to me, this whole Israeli thing, you go back you can't take out of the concept why these, I mean, I guess I'm just never, it's blowing me away that you have this little strip of Gaza and these people are just packed in there and they're literally refugees. What do you know, I just saw a clip today and this guy is talking to someone in Israel and he's like, well, they need to leave. And it's like, okay, where are they going to go? Well, they have to go out in Egypt, out through the bottom of Gaza. It's like, why can't they come up the top? Well, no. They can't come up. And you're like, oh, you know what? If my house here was just like, I was told to leave and someone else just moves in my house, that'd piss me off.
Yeah. And I mean, you can even go back and you can find no one would accuse Pat Buchanan of being like a softy in any way, shape, or form. I mean, he was like one of the biggest cold warriors for the longest time. But you can go back to, I think, 2007, 2008. And you can find clips of Pat Buchanan on the McLaughlin Report, I believe it's pronounced, talking about how Gaza is an open air prison. Yeah. I mean, Pat's not a softy. Like, he's not like a big, like, overly humanitarian.
The problem, I get what you're saying, but he at the time was considered I thought, maybe I need to stay away from Pat because he's anti-Semite.
Because he was called an anti-Semite, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I've been reading. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I was just telling about this to Pete Quinones because I was on his show doing some stuff on Leo Frank stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I actually used this against people. I remember, you know, the early 2000s, which was about President Carter. He had written a book about Palestine and some other things. And he was like, not, you know, totally. And I'm like, I called him an anti-Semitic guy because he wasn't on the train of Israel. And I'm like, I look back at that now and I used it like everyone else does, like Ben Shapiro does now about identity politics. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anti-Semitic essentially becomes the, you're the racist, you're homophobic, you're transphobic, but for the right wing, for whatever reason. And I mean, like, if you can even go and look at Rothbard, he wrote the Rothbard Rockwell Report back in the 90s, you know, during like the controversial phase and everything. And Rothbard defended Pat against this claims of anti-Semitism, basically because they were unfounded. Just because he was critical of Israel and their foreign policy, he was deemed an anti-Semite, because it's a very easy smear word to defend your nation state when you want to have a lot of money, right? So, I mean, it's very easy to jump into that identity politics stuff. And I mean, I noticed that Leighton mentioned that in the chat about the real Jewish Holy Land. And I'm sure you're familiar with Ace, right? Ace has a podcast called The End Times Continue, and his co-host is Dean, and Dean's wife is Jewish. So when Ace was away, they had a conversation when this all was really starting to kick off. And there's even before, like before all of like Israel started to be big, like in the 60s and everything, there was disputes amongst American Jews about whether or not they should go back to Israel. There's like legitimate theological disputes in the Jewish community. Like a lot of them believe that they have to wait until the Messiah comes to return to the Holy Land, right? Like that was a legitimate dispute.
Yeah.
And there was prominent Jewish rabbis who were protesting going back to Israel. I mean, eventually they just kind of quiet down and they didn't really share their thoughts anymore. And that's how you get like the Orthodox in the Jewish community about like, oh, Israel is the Holy Land. It's our God-given right. Rather than, oh, maybe we have to wait until the Messiah delivers it, comes back to deliver it to us. I mean, then you go and you look at Christians who defend it like for whatever reason. It's like, well, no, Israel isn't a physical place anymore. Israel is all Christians now. And our Jerusalem is the church. And so there's no like real theological backing to you being an evangelical Christian in supporting the nation state of Israel. Like there's not a theological backing, because all of the promises of the Old Testament were fulfilled in the new by Jesus offering, you know, kingdom of heaven, right? That's what that is.
Okay. By the way, I don't know if you've ever read a guy named Chaim Potok. He's a Jewish author. He wrote The Chosen, Asher Lev. I absolutely love these books. They're fantastic, okay. But they dig into the deep parts of Jewishness, probably in the 40s, 30s, 60s, somewhere in that range. And they talk a lot about, because especially at this time, was creation, and this is kind of a peripheral thing, but the creation of Zion, you know, Zionism and the creation of Israel and stuff. And there's a debate, literal debate between Jewish sects at the time. SECT, by the way, not SES.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating, and it's not always, and I've seen Max Blumenthal talk about, you know, Zionism is actually anti-Jewish because it allows people that are anti-Semitic to use this against the Jews. And I get that. And I think that's a pretty, pretty strong point there. Okay. So I don't know about, let's go back to the Austin Peters. Did you see his tweet, by the way, and what did you think about it?
I can't speak to whichever tweet specifically, but I saw his whole tirade, you know, where he's bashing like anti-war libertarians for not wanting to support the nation state of Israel and not like playing apologism for like, you know, murdering civilians. And I went back and forth with him on this for a little while,
even
so much that Dave Smith eventually took over for me at some point.
That's what you need, yeah, because you can't deal with it. So I kind of had some things with him too, and at some point I'm like, immediately I'm not going there, which is he would basically said libertarians are too anti-government and then by extension anti-Israel, and I just been like, why'd you mention Israel? Why that's that country specifically? I know that's a thing right now, but you didn't say Ukraine, you didn't say Germany, you didn't say Jamaica, you didn't say any of these other ones that I could be problematic with. It's And what you're trying to do is you're trying to gaslight anybody to be shown as anti-Semitic, right? If you're not patriotic, you're anti-Semitic. It's really gross in this sense. And I'm just pushing back against it at this point. So anyway, that's kind of his thing. And then he's, I got to restart the interview. So we'll go, do you mind if we go on from here? Okay.
Let me know if you have for war. And it seems that your intention is to add into that propaganda that,
no,
they have to respond in kind.
It may seem, yes, they do. And so my problem is that the Gadsden flag, don't tread on me, that the snake has no teeth in the libertarian movement. Yes, we should push for peace. Yes, the United States should not be getting involved. I've advocated against the United States funding and getting involved militarily.
Did you hear him earlier say that he didn't like the libertarians because there were certain ones, and he said Adam Kokesh specifically was being paid by the since he worked for RT today or whatever it was, he was a propagandist for a foreign nation. Now, Now he's saying the libertarians have no teeth. So even if he's getting paid, does it matter? It's like, if you're in the woods and the tree falls and you don't hear, I don't know. What do you think of that?
I mean, I really don't. I mean, I think RT is probably, you should look at it with like, you know, you should look at it carefully when you approach like anything like them, Al Jazeera, because they obviously right. have a very like Western, anti-Western bend to them. But you know, I'm not going to fault, like Ron Paul has gone on RT plenty of times to talk. And so I don't have this instinctual grudge against them. Obviously, I think they're going to have a bent that's more favorable towards whichever foreign government is funding them. But I don't have that much of a gripe with them, with libertarians, like using whichever platforms to actually speak, especially if it's anti-war. I mean, if it just so happens to line up that right. The anti-war message is aligned with like whatever X country is saying, then oh, so be it, right? That's like, obviously, I don't think opposing the Iraq war in 2003 makes you pro Saddam, right? Because Saddam, right. those aren't Saddam talking points. Those are just the truth, right? He didn't have weapons of mass destruction. That was a lie.
But by the way, Ben Shapiro's, one of his famous lines is you can do two things. Two things can be true at once. Yet he can't have you be anti-Israel and not pro Hamas at the same time. It, for him now, suddenly two things can't be true at once. You are only one or the other, and it's such bullshit. It's frustrating.
Yeah, and I mean, like, if the IDF had this plan where they were like, we're just going to go into Gaza and we're going to go and hunt down just Hamas, right? Like, we're going to do like specific raids or something like that. I could certainly get behind that. Like, I wouldn't have any gripes because I'm sure Hamas is like, I shouldn't yes. have to say this, but they're barbarous, right. they're right. evil, they're despotic. Like, obviously, I need to say this apparently today. And like, if they said that we're going to send the IDF just after those guys, I wouldn't have a gripe with that because Hamas is evil. But when you talk about leveling all of the Gaza Strip, you are a monster. You are a monster because you know what? This whole consent of the governed thing is nonsense. Most of these people did not vote for Hamas to be in power in Gaza, like at all. They did not vote for that. And so you do not have the right to just go and murder civilians, people who did not commit any crimes. Like Ben, like, listen, Ben, did you vote for George W. Bush? Did you vote for him? Is it W or HW? I always get them mixed up a little bit, whichever one is the older. But did you vote for the younger Bush come around 2000? Because if so, then I guess because you voted for him, then I guess you're complicit in his crimes, right? With Iraq, with Afghanistan? I'm sure now you're complicit, right?
Have you watched?
That's the logic that these people have.
Right.
That voting is somehow like a total endorsement for everything a politician ever does. And it's nonsense.
Have you seen the movie Red Dawn?
I haven't, no. I want to. That's one I definitely have on my list. But
there's two of them. There's the original one, which is in Colorado, and it's got like kind of the Brat Pack, a few of those. And then there's a newer one that's actually up in Spokane, and it's kind of the same idea. The U.S. gets invaded. The second one's North Korea. The first one's Russia. And they're fighting again. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Hamas, evil, completely, I agree with that. Yet, if I'm – I glorified these movies, right, and for fighting back and doing whatever you have to do. So, I mean, you have to put yourself in those people's positions. I think you have to do that. And to understand that, you know, why they're joining these evil and why they feel like they're up against it and they have no choice. At some point, you know, you feel like you have to do something. So anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure you've already touched on it. But of course, you know, 9/11 is the prime example. Like Ron Paul explaining that 9/11 was caused as blowback because of our sanctions right. of Iraq, and our occupation of the Arabian Peninsula and all of these multitude of things. Like, I'm sure that is not at all. Apologism for explaining why people would be incentivized and feel a certain way.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, okay. Right? Okay. Like that's not apologism for those groups. And so you have to understand, why would Hamas feel the need to do this? That's not excusing them at all. That's just understanding where do they come from and why do they think this way.
I absolutely, and it's very necessary to understand. By the way, if you think that they're your enemy, then you better understand why they're thinking this way to have a resolution. Now, I don't know why what Hamas's thinking was in doing this attack. It seems completely ridiculous, other than to get up in a hang glider. But there you go. Okay, let's keep going here.
Ukraine. I've been advocating against the United States getting involved with the conflict between Israel and Hamas, both financially and militarily.
Okay, good.
I morally support Israel's cause and think that we should diplomatically support their cause, but not financially or militarily, because I think that we treat them like a redheaded stepchild and we intervene and it makes them less secure and safe, and their capabilities to defend themselves are more eroded. However, what I'm really trying to say here overall is that I think that libertarian ideas when it comes to foreign policy are toothless. In other words, that there is, that don't tread on me as a dead letter. Essentially, that there really is not even like a national defense, because you could argue that, you know, the true anarcho-capitalist, if they were to become the head of whatever government, would instantly dissolve it in order to maintain their principles, right? And when I asked Spike Cohen that question last week about this, what he would do if he were in charge of Israel, him, you know, being a self-described anarcho-capitalist, he said that he would use the power of government to, you know, to wreak havoc on those who committed these heinous acts. But that's not really the anarchist position, right? The anarchist position should be to dissolve the government if you had that power. So there's some idiosyncrasies.
Okay, so maybe Spike isn't the ultimate guy. That's all I'm saying.
Idiosyncrasies in this, and you know, we don't have to get too involved in, you know, those idiosyncrasies. But I think in the larger picture, there has to be some kind of motive of defense that has to involve some form of violence. And what kind of, the question really is, what form of violence is allowable or permissible, not just for nations, but even just for individuals? I mean, I've listened to people argue that, you know, North Korea can put a nuclear missile on the launch pad, aim it at us, get ready to fire it, and we have to sit there and watch them do it. And the only thing that we can do is if they actually fire it, then we can shoot it down in the air. And I had to ask, with what air force? Because you completely defunded the military. So it's just, it doesn't seem feasible. And I think it holds the libertarian movement back.
Okay, David, answer that question.
I mean, obviously, I'm somebody converting to Catholicism, so I would go and argue that I like just war theory. Just war theory would be like as a final last result, right? Like you have to meet all these certain prerequisites, like for war to be justified. And then like one of them is finally, this is the last result. Like say we have like complete tangible proof that North Korea is this close to launching a nuclear weapon. I wouldn't be totally opposed to intervening in some way. I mean, I'm not going to hold any gripes, right? Because I think just from a pure utilitarian perspective, that would be that, and just from like a just war perspective. So maybe I'm not like a total non-interventionist, but I think that holding just war theory, like that eventually just basically leads to non-interventionism for 99.9% of conflicts. Like let's say, like hypothetically, if I'm sitting on your border and I have a nuke pointed directly at you and my finger's hovering over the buttons, I don't think it would be unjustified for you to like shoot me. I don't think it would be at all. But that's an extreme hypothetical and not at all what we are talking about, right? Like, not at all.
By the way, you extend, I mean, the U.S. is still here. You're going to have weapons, you know, like even in the anarcho-capitalist utopia idea, I don't know that you're going to get rid of this technology. So you're still going to be able to have something to deter the other side, right? I have guns. You know, Germany is famous for saying we didn't invade the U.S. on a ground invasion in, you know, World War II because way too many weapons. Too many people are locked and loaded. So it's kind of the same thing. So I know Austin's like, oh, you know, they defunded the military. You don't have to go over and give $18 billion or whatever it is to Israel. You don't have to give all your money to Ukraine, but you can fortify your own defense. I mean, let's be honest. That's okay. Let's keep going by here with these two Yahoos. I mean, I love Clinton.
And people largely don't agree with this because I think that rightfully or wrongfully, that they perceive our foreign policy as one that would leave them defenseless against acts of terror on the world. What I'm saying is there's got to be some kind of foreign policy that splits the baby somewhere between John McCain and Neville Chamberlain. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, well, I would just like to get our foreign policy as far away as possible from John McCain. That we have functioned under the John McCain ideology in terms of geopolitical response my entire life. It's been a tremendous amount of innocent bloodshed, and that's my major concern. I totally disagree with you that the Gadsden flag doesn't have teeth to it. It's just that I don't want those teeth to strike children, man. I don't want them to be taking out kids unnecessarily.
That's
particularly
what Hamas is doing, right? So the problem is that with that whole
hold on, you can't say if you're going to say that
against babies.
They flattened entire blocks of apartment complexes, man. You're going to tell me that they don't know that's not intentionally targeting children.
And by the way, I think I said this before you came on. I'm a little buzzed, but when you have such a concentrated group of people, such as is in Gaza, every position you take, I mean, there's not like a military base in Gaza. It's just city blocks. So you've put these people in an open air prison, and now you're like, oh, they're hiding behind kids. They're hiding behind a hospital. Yeah, that's all they literally have. That's everything in there. I don't know that the Israeli has much choice necessarily what they're doing, but okay, this is the Gadsden flag irritates socialists, and that's good enough for me. Okay, any comments on that?
I mean, I think there's a very clear difference because, like, he's kind of making it seem like the argument is that I'm a terrorist here, and I'm just holding a child in front of me. Like, that's what he's making this argument out to be.
Yeah.
That by being in this proximity here, that somehow we're justified in carpet bombing Gaza. That we're carpet bombing where people live. Like, somehow that's justified. Like, they might have some characteristics alike, but they're not the same, right?
Right.
And even then, I would go and argue that you don't have the right to go and murder a child just because somebody despicable is using that child as a tool. Like, you don't have that right. That person is not aggressing upon you. Like, obviously, it comes down to creative problem solving, but you don't get to hurt innocent people regardless. Like, if you're a libertarian and you hold to the non-aggression principle, you believe that you are not allowed to hurt innocent people who have not aggressed upon you. And those include those people who are just living their lives there, whatever horrible lives they have to live.
Yes.
You're saying that
I am going to tell you that because they actually issue warnings. You know what a roof knock is?
They did stop doing that over the past week. I hope you know that too.
Because they ran out of ammunition, but they do that when they have the abilities to do that. They're not expected to commit suicide and wait around for Hamas terrorists to flee the buildings, but they do essentially the modern equivalent of a LeMay leaflet drop, which is to let them know that they're coming in. And they do text. They actually send text messages to the people within that block because they get those phone numbers and they let people know.
They don't have any power. So many of them don't have cell phones that are on right now.
Some of them have generators. And the problem is, again, you're asking.
I'm sorry. You can't really use this as an excuse. This is a bad argument, Austin. And I saw this journalist. He's in Turkey right now, but his family's all in Palestine. He lives there and he had been able to get out. He was on the Gray Zone with Max Blumenthal, whatever you think of them. But he's like, look, my building was just right next to it. There's this building. It's pretty famous. It's got a bunch of journalists in it. They were going to bomb it, so they didn't text them. They text the guy in a neighboring neighborhood, and he had to run over to the building to tell everybody to get out. So they all got out, and they went to the next door building, which is this guy's building. However, Israel bombed the wrong building. They didn't bomb that building. They bombed this building that everyone ran to avoid. He's like, it's not like you're texting everyone in the building that's so technologically advanced. You text some random guy down the street, and he happened to run over. So, you know, this is the problems you got.
So. Hey, Tyler, so if your son robbed me, and I wanted to take back my property, right? And I warn you that, hey, I'm going to bomb your son's room, and that's going to take out your entire house as well. Right. Does that make it justified for me to do so, like to hurt you in the process if you don't leave your property?
No.
Like if you maintain your private property claim?
No.
Is that justified?
And matter of fact, I was saying earlier, it's like a school shooter that it's a bad guy. So what we've decided to do is just take out his family. It's like you don't do that. You don't take out the guy's family because a school shooter went rogue. Okay, which I think is
warning people that there's going to be a that you're going to hurt them does not obligate them that they have. This does not mean they have to leave.
Okay, P-Nord says you're simping for war. I think he's right. Clint Torres for Tower Gang NPC. David says he's not in favor of murder. Interesting.
Stunning. I know. That was a hard take.
In a way to tie their hands behind their back to be able to conduct legitimate military operations. And if you think about it, for example, like drone warfare, right? If you're talking about more targeted strikes, I mean, certainly drones in regards to libertarians and how they feel about, you know, munitions or ordnance, for example, a drone is a far superior, being a more targeted weapon than a cluster bomb, for example, right?
Oh, it's humane now.
Yes.
Right. So
let's
in some ways,
Pakistan, how precise a drone strike
have allowed us to conduct more surgical strikes that can prevent that kind of collateral damage that we're looking at right now. The question, of course, is whether that's used constitutionally. I'll ask you one last question because I only have a few more minutes left, and then I want to let you promote your show as well, Clint. I asked Josh Smith, the Libertarian presidential candidate, this one, and boy, is he getting in a lot of hot
water. I don't know. He's getting hot water. Now, David, have you heard this question? Do you know what's coming up?
I do not know what question's coming up. Is he going to ask us who will build the roads?
No, I want you to answer this question.
Water on this one. So let's see if you can avoid getting tripped up by this one as well. So I'm going to see if I can get you to say something nice about the CIA.
All right, good luck.
The assassination of Che Guevara.
Okay, first, it's Che Guevara. So Guevara, I get it. Are you trying to make a joke? I don't think so. It's like the guy, it's like Heist trying to say Thomas Sowell, and he goes, Thomas Sowell. So come on, people.
Mm-hmm. Good, bad. Up or down? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
So what do you say, David?
I think that just makes a martyr out of Guevara. What that does is when you assassinate socialist dictators, then what happens is suddenly we're now at fault for the collapse of that country that was caused by socialism. And I don't feel like making those people into martyrs. So I do not support. I support letting these socialist dictators bear the responsibility for their actions, for the collapse of their country. What it does is when we go and assassinate socialist dictators abroad, what that does is that creates a scapegoat. Suddenly we're the scapegoat. It's not socialism that failed. It's not these dictatorships. Suddenly it's us because we overthrew their government. So that's why I would not support assassinating foreign leaders, no matter how terrible they are. Like if people really want to live in a socialist dictatorship, by all means, live in your socialist dictatorship, all right? Just don't export it to my place, right, okay? But that's my stance. So I don't support it because it just makes a scapegoat out of us instead of socialists. It does.
Now, I would push back on Austin because all my reading is I've never seen that the CIA is responsible for killing Che Guevara. He went to Bolivia. The Bolivian army has taken saying that they didn't want him there. Get the fuck out of here. They captured him. They killed him. And they were happy with it. He was obviously a piece of shit. Sorry for the language here. But that's I don't know if that's literally the case. Was the CIA very involved? Perhaps. I mean, there's all the satellite countries of the Soviet Union at the time. They were trying to spread throughout the South America, and we were trying to stop that. I get it. Would I be okay with the CIA? I mean, Che Guevara is a gross guy, but I think you're exactly right. All it does is it hypes them up in their own country. So let's see what it says here.
I'm going to say thumbs down. I think that our intervention abroad, even if it is to the benefit, I mean, because there are examples, obviously, where intervention does have some benefits. It's just that it's unknowable what the blowback will be and what the unintended consequences of those interventions will be. The Iranian situation, you know, is kind of a good example of that. And now you have these people that are saying we must intervene on behalf of the Iranian people.
By the way, this reminds I'm sorry, I should have had it up on the screen, but this reminds me, though, of Dave Smith's comment of like, hey, we need this group to take out the existing group because we've, you know, gonna have the underlings take out the over, and then they take over, and then like a few years later, okay, you know, we need a rebellion to take out the group in charge that we just had take out the other group, and it's always a problem. Yeah,
it's this endless cycle. We have a dictator, so we fund a young group of rebels who overthrow that dictatorship. They establish their own dictatorship, which we don't like, which means we need to fund a new group of young rebels to go and overthrow that dictatorship, which then becomes a dictatorship and ever circle, right? And like, it just keeps happening.
Yeah. Because they languish under this tyranny today. And it's like, well, we kind of helped get you there. So yeah, I am a non-intervention.
And by the way, this reminds me of the Vietnam thing. Look, they're worried about spread of communism. So we go into Vietnam, we get our asses kicked, we leave. Communism is there anyway. What is Cuba's situation? We killed Che Guevara, if according to Austin, I don't think we did, but CIA kills him. Okay. Is it still under communist? Yeah. So
it's through and through, man. I personally, yes. I mean, is it good or bad? I would say, I guess it's good in terms of consequentialist answer. But had I had the opportunity to, you know, tweet out during that moment, I would have said, please don't do this.
So do you really think that that's the difference there? That's really what we're talking about, isn't it? I mean, the question... Well,
that's the extent of my power, Austin. I'm not in politics.
No, but I mean, like, in terms of consequentialism, right? So it's really a question of, you know, if in the moment, do your principles dictate what you do or do they guide what you do? And I think that's really probably the big difference here is it's not that, you know, one of us isn't a libertarian or one of us isn't. It's just that one of us takes a deontological approach and the other one is consequential.
Well, he's actually moved to the Republican Party, so...
One I see sort of like as robotic, and it almost requires a Bible in a sense in order for you to be able to operate on your principles, because you have to refer back to something or refer back to an argument of authority, which is again my issue with, you know, everyone who is in the anti-war movement, just quote Scott Horton, if you will.
I'm referring to that
deontological approach requires you to go back to an argument of authority to say this is the methodological approach, and the reality is there is no methodological approach to applying libertarian principles.
Well, I mean, to say that I have to go back to something is like, yeah, I'm going back to my principles before I evaluate something. I'm not going back to Scott Horton's books before I decide. I mean, my principle is one, I think, that is in alignment with the more moral perspective, that we should diminish the loss of innocent lives as much as possible. And if you have already, if you've knowingly entered a civilian area and you have bombarded it, you have cut off their water, power, food, all resources, and then you just said, well, now you have to just get out. Oh, by the way, we have six entrances into Israel that are all shut down. We have one entrance into Egypt. It is also shut down. So we're just going to tell you, get to the south. Oh, now there's either a IED or a strike from IDF that you know, kills four or five people as they're trying to flee south. Well, now you have to roll the dice. Do you actually go south, or do you just stay home and pray to Allah that you're not going to get, you know, taken out? These people are in an unwinnable situation after 15 years of severe abuse. There has been no election since 2006. The vast majority of people, I think it would be like 75% of the people living today, did not vote for Hamas. But they're still being held to the same moral standard of like, well, Hamas is terrorist, so all of you are now enemy combatants. It's totally unreasonable.
And all the children who have died in all of the school shootings in the United States, we don't back down and surrender our Second Amendment rights. So are dead children the price of liberty that we must pay in order to maintain our rights here in the United States?
Okay, so that kind of gets to my point. But so by his logic, we do kill the families. I get it. Some liberty, but you know.
Well, you're assuming that our ability to acquire guns is the reason that people are doing school shootings. And as you know, from a libertarian perspective,
school shooting without a gun, Clint, are dead children who die at the hands of school shooters here in the United States. Is that the price of liberty that we must sometimes pay? An awful price, but is that the price that we must pay to maintain our liberty?
Well, I don't believe that prohibition works in terms of gun ownership, but sure.
You get my point. So anyways, Clint, tell us a little bit about your podcast and where people can go to find out more.
At Liberty Lock Pod on Twitter, Liberty Lockdown on YouTube, Spotify, everywhere else. I just wanted to... Oh, also, I co-host a show, Tower Gang, as well as a show with Luke Rutkowski over on the We Are Change, all one word channel on Rumble and YouTube as well.
Let's debate 9/11 truth some point.
Oh, no. I don't want to shift from that. I don't want to shift from that. I'm very concerned about this kind of this signing off on, you know, 800 children's deaths. It's far higher in terms of the death of innocence already. And this is to be expected.
I don't take any moral culpability for that, though, because I'm not responsible for the initiation of force. I might have some kind of culpability in terms of a involuntary manslaughter, but I don't bear any moral responsibility for what occurs when someone initiates force against me when I respond with retaliatory force.
Okay, what do you think about that? So involuntary manslaughter could still put you in prison. So he's saying, look, I could involuntarily manslaughter, kill some people. I didn't intend to kill them, but my negligence was so egregious, a wanton disregard for human life, that I still had to kill them. That seems stupid to me. What do you say?
I mean, I guess I'm not totally sure what his argument is here. I mean, I guess I'm just a little bit confused about it. I mean, obviously, Austin's not over there with a gun holding it up to like a Palestinian child's head. Like, obviously, he's not the person over there doing this. But I think at the very least, like, even if you want to say that we have no moral culpability for the actions of the IDF that gets lots of taxpayer dollars from us, you know. Obviously, I don't think that we're responsible for what politicians send overseas, but at the very least, you have to, as a libertarian, you cannot advocate for us to send further money over there. Because you know what that does? You have to do that through violent expropriation of the public, through taxation, or through inflationism. And I mean, as a libertarian, you have to oppose both. And so you cannot support sending more money over there to support them. I mean, I think he's acknowledged this. So I don't get his point at all. And I don't think he's obviously, I don't think he's like personally morally culpable for it. I don't think we are for our government sending money over there. But I think that as good libertarians, we should advocate against it. We don't have an obligation. We don't have to advocate for other people's rights, but we probably should in situations like this, where we can try and change public opinion to not support robbing one another to fund the murder of people abroad. So maybe I'm misunderstanding what his argument is here.
Well, I think we all are. Look, you don't even have to be libertarian necessarily to be feeling that thing. It's very interesting to see the come to light those. And I tweeted out almost as soon as the attack on Israel happened. I'm like, watch your neocons, your anti-Ukraine Republicans suddenly switch. And I had one guy was coming at me. He's like, who would that be? And I'm like, oh, come on. It's we've seen
Vance.
Everybody.
I saw last night. Biden gave his speech, he was like, Biden's trying to equate Ukraine with Israel. It's like, why not? Why not equate these? They're both expropriations of the American public to fund conflicts abroad that we should not be involved in. That's not very America first of you, J.D. Vance, for a so-called America first conservative. Like, I'm sorry. Like, how is there this such a big disconnect? And obviously, I think there are some MAGA people who are pretty good on this. I think Matt Walsh actually had a very good take. Like, he said that Vivek Ramaswamy's take, like, you know, obviously we shouldn't risk World War III. Like, he said that was a very consistent take. He gave Vivek credit. And so
I will say I had a really good is
better than J.D. Vance.
Right. I did have a good tweet because Matt, and by the way, most of my tweets on this are just to point out the hypocrisy. So Matt Walsh comes out and he's like, look, it depends on what a civilian is. And he gives multiple definitions. I'm like, he's literally going, what is a civilian? And this is the guy I couldn't help but do it. And anyway, so look, we'll stop it there. I think that's it's highly in enlightening to see some people take this point of view. I think someone had here, he's equating the risk associated with having gun rights with pulling the trigger. Yeah, we can condemn Hamas all we want. And I think that's true. But once again, you don't then, since you have a school shooter, you don't then go and just inexplicably destroy the neighborhood that this guy lives in, unless you're Alex Jones. I think that's what he did. Yeah. Isn't that what he got sued for?
I don't know, but my final take on Austin Peterson is the guy appears to be a legitimate midwit. The guy is stupid. This is the guy who's justified, who's denied that there's anything but the chosen narrative that they attacked us for our freedom is what's true about 9/11.
Yeah.
He's endorsed the atomic bombs, which you cannot justify under any libertarian framework. And I'm sure you know this. I'm sure some of the audience knows
and I don't
this.
Think he's
justified. But like, this guy's a legitimate midwit. He does not have a grasp on libertarianism. He drapes himself in the phrase libertarian. And just,
hey, he's married to a ginger.
Do we just have
How
to find a different
you?
Word? Do we just have to? I don't care. We don't have souls. I'm not obligated to rights.
Okay, good point. You could be a Palestinian a refugee because you don't have rights. So
okay,
David, tell us for everyone where they can find you, and any last things you want to say before I get out of here. My back is killing me because I've got an old man back problem. So anyway, keep going.
I mean, I guess I don't know. My final take is, again, Austin Peterson's a midwit. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But as far as like where you can find me, you can find me. Obviously, my handle is right there, Real David B. Jr. Just the JR there. You can find me there on Twitter, on Instagram as well. I don't really post on Instagram much. I probably should. But I also have a podcast with my friend Lorenzo called Every Week Is Chaos. We had two episodes this week because it took me forever to edit last week's episode since I was in Auburn, Alabama. And you can check that out on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. If you really like Google Podcasts, I think we're also on Stitcher. I don't know. I don't know what Stitcher is, but it's just where Red Circle sends our podcast. So if Stitcher, you want to check out our... Sorry.
Congratulations. Yes, people should check out your podcast. Stitcher is going out, by the way. I used to use it a lot, but it's going out. Everyone...
Well, yeah, the more you know.
There you go. So, David, thank you for joining us. We're going out with the little picture. I think Austin's a midwit, but I think he's, I don't know, he's more Republican-based than libertarian or even post-libertarian. So he gets some things wrong here, and I think that's what we're here to do. Okay, everybody, I appreciate you joining us today. David, thanks for joining us on a Friday night. Salute, everybody. America first. Thank you.
Okay, I'm leaving now. Bye, guys.
But she's back.
And now,
Chick-fil-A is completely overrated. It's not that good. I prefer Zaxby's. I prefer Popeyes.
Takes a tough man to make a tender forecast, Nick.
I guess that's me.
Keep fucking that chicken.
Should I vote for Dick Cheney on the Libertarian Party? Do I have an obligation to vote for Dick Cheney?
I would say so.
Yes.
Did it work for those people?
No, it never does. I mean, these people somehow delude themselves into thinking it might, but... But it might work for us.
That one dude was like, not a podcast, I can't find it anywhere, and they don't have video.
Oh, yeah, Peter Janke, yeah.
I blocked him.
I'll do it. If he unblocks me, I'll
he'll buy your shirt if you unblock him, Bert.
He's a wigger.
Yeah, nothing cooler than so a 49-year-old wigger. Like,
I just started live streaming. Cut me some slack. I'm pretty high tech for a boomer. But anyways,
for a boomer.